Thank you very much. We feel so welcome here. And I just want Inessa to stand up quickly. This is my wife. We're from Vredendal, not originally, but we've been there 8 years. And we've been with about 5.5 years. So can I move this forward? Is that all right? No, you don't want to see me dance. I don't think it's not gonna go well. Yeah. Do you love Jesus? You know, maybe you can turn to someone alongside you and look them in the eye and say, Jesus loves you very much. Sometimes when we go through pain and suffering, it's not always that easy to believe that. Who has gone through pain and suffering? Hands up. Who's gone through deep pain and suffering? Do you know what I talk about? If I could give a title to the message, it would be, do you have faith to suffer well? Do you have faith to suffer well? When James was this morning in a prayer meeting, he was just sharing about the Lord is putting on his heart, do we have faith? I thought that is maybe something the Lord is asking of us this morning. He wants to ask us, do we have faith to suffer well? What does that mean? So I would love to just share a few thoughts with you. We all know suffering is part of life, right? You will not go through life without some loss, suffering, or pain. Whether you're close to Superman or Batman, whether you have the perfect family, it doesn't matter. Somewhere along the line, life will happen, and you will experience some pain and suffering. Billy Graham has a wonderful quote, and he says the following. I just need to find it on my phone, okay? He says the following. He says, suffering is part of the human condition. And I want to say that it's part of a Christian's life, a believer's life. You might be very passionate in love with Jesus. You might have been following him for 6 months or 60 years. Suffering is part of your condition and mine. And it comes to all of us. He says the following. He says, the key is how we react to suffering. Either we turn away from God in anger and bitterness when we suffer, or we grow closer to him in trust and confidence. And it's true. Maybe you've had suffering and experienced pain and loss, and for a season you turned away from God. Difficult to process. Our job is to be passionate in love with Jesus, but we need to be prepared that when suffering comes, and it will come, that we will suffer well for him and not be shaken. Can I say to you, this worship was wonderful this morning. It was amazing. But that's not a test. That's not a test. That's not my test. It's not your test. We're lifting up Jesus. What happens tomorrow, Monday morning? What happens if you get fired from your job? You lose a loved one. And we need to, as the Church of God, as Josh Jen Church, as a 412 Church, as disciples of Jesus, I want to implore and I want to seriously say to you that your walk and my walk with Christ needs to be not like a dinky, a rubber duck. It needs to be like that oil tanker that does not get shaken by any wave. But you've got momentum. So hopefully your leaders have taught you that the gospel you need to believe includes suffering and pain. That we do not believe in a prosperity gospel. Right? Pain and suffering will come our way. There's a wonderful story of, maybe you've heard this, of a guy that in a church came up and he orated Psalm 23. A young man, and he was a professional. You know, the emphasis, the silence, the soft, the loud. And he did it brilliantly in front of the church. And when he was finished, there was an old man walking from the front, and he was raising his hand and said, can I also do that? And he came up with his walking stick, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he also talked through the whole psalm. And the people start to cry. After the service, this young man came to this old woman. And he said to him, Uncle, why did people cry when you said Psalm 23 just almost softly? And the old man said to him, young man, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. That's where God wants us when we go through pain and suffering. It's beautiful, isn't it, eh? It's beautiful. So, we do sometimes want to understand why does it happen? Why does pain and suffering happen to us? And God is sometimes gracious that He gives us the reason. Tim Keller says the following, and we're going to get to scripture right now, just now. He says, some suffering is given in order to chastise and correct a person for wrong patterns of his life. As in the case of Jonah. Right? Jonah had some big problems. He had some people problems, heart problems, cultural, racial problems. And God had to work with him and put him through a few things to correct him. Some suffering is given not to correct past wrongs, but to prevent future ones. I think this is very deep. Like Joseph. Joseph had to go through some sufferings to prevent future wrongs. And some suffering has no purpose other than to lead a person to love God more and more, and love God alone, and to discover the ultimate peace and freedom. Some suffering you will not have an answer for, and maybe you've experienced that already. You do not know why. Trusting our God to be sovereign when we cannot make sense of it. Job did not make sense of suffering that he went through. Can I say to you that when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will go through it, and I will go through it, that when you trust God and you rest in that He is sovereign, He might not give you the reason why you go through this. I had a mentor. His name was Floyd McClung. Maybe some of you might have known him. He wrote a book called The Father Heart of God, involved in YWAM. And I had the privilege of being mentored by him for 3 years. And in 2016, he picked up a viral infection. He was in Syria, the war there with amongst the refugees. He picked up a viral infection. It infected his brain. He came back. The end of a long story was that this man ended up in hospital. And he could not speak for himself. He could do nothing. He could not even eat. All he could do was raise his right hand while he was sitting in a chair or lying in bed when there's worship music playing and the tears will roll down his face. He was conscious but could do nothing. And I always wondered, Lord, if there's someone that deserves to go in a better way, surely it is this man that poured out his life in Afghanistan amongst the hippies in Amsterdam, the red light district. He wrote 14 books. He gave himself. He gave himself. I've never personally seen a man as humble and as godly as this man. Never. Got to know someone and walk with him. He's this tall teddy bear guy. And I was thinking, Lord, what is your purpose in this suffering? For 7 years. 7 years in hospital. And it was not a lack of faith on his part. It was not a lack of prayer. Thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands of people prayed for him. Lord, being 70 odd years old, why should he just in obscurity in a hospital bed? And there's no answer. And at the same time, his wife Sally has cancer up until today. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says the following. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to ask you, is your faith of such a nature that you can trust God as being sovereign when you do not know what's going on? You see, God wants to lead us and He wants to develop our faith, that your faith, through suffering, through pain, through brokenness, will come to a place where you have such a steadfast hope that nothing will shake you. And can I say this, that the Church of Christ will suffer more in the future? Jesus is not interested in shallow Christianity. He's interested in individuals that have a deep, deep, steep relationship with Him. And say, God, we sing, though you slay me, I will praise you. But walking it out is sometimes a bit different. And I want to encourage us that God, the Word says, without faith it's impossible to please the Lord, right? Okay, we need to believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Can I say to you that if you go through pain and suffering, make sure that you turn towards God in trust and confidence. And if you have to wrestle with it, do so. Do not ignore it. Just yesterday, we were in
we used to live in Komiki for 3 years. And me and Inessa, we were walking on the boardwalk and we had a coffee and just down memory lane, you know? And I was suddenly realizing that the Lord made me aware that I have not grieved over certain things that I've lost in my walk with Him. Make sure you grieve. Make sure you grieve. Make sure you process that. Wrestle, cry. If you have to be in travail, travail. Because if we don't do that, we lose capacity to give ourselves and to go deep. And God wants you to go deep. He wants you to go deep with people. He wants you to go deep with Him and to give yourself. Okay. So, John Piper says, I don't know if you've read, who's read the book of John Piper? It says, "Don't waste your cancer." What a title! Don't waste your cancer. Okay, don't waste your cancer. Don't waste your suffering. There's a purpose and there's a plan. Beautiful, beautiful. And if you ever want to read a book that's one of the best books I've ever written, is Tim Keller's book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. It's a fairly new book. He passed away last year. I think the book is about 6 or 7 years old. Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And he does not preach to you in the book. He takes you on a journey where you can wrestle, where you can ask the questions and you can be honest. The Bible does not give, and Jesus does not give, the ultimate answer why there is such pain and suffering in the world. And I want to encourage you, do not be quick to give answers to other people. Mourn with them. Mourn with those that needs to be mourned with. All right. So, what is the fruit of suffering well? There are some fruit. This is the good news, okay? Tell someone alongside you, this is good news now. All right? There's some good news coming, all right? We're almost finished. There's some good news. So the first one that we can really, I think, put on the top of the list, if you have a top 10, top 20, top 30 list, The number one, who remembers the top 20s? Okay. The number one is Philippians 3, verse 8 to 10. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Look at the words loss. Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the powers of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Getting to know Christ in a deep and intimate way will not just be the power of His resurrection, but the fellowship of His sufferings. Are you willing that if He chooses, we don't look for it, but if He chooses, that you will walk that road? Hannes said just now, the week before Easter, the week before the crucifixion, the focus is Christ came into Jerusalem to die. He spent that time in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He knew death is coming, suffering is coming. And He's calling us and saying, if I call you, to not just live for me, not just die for me, but to suffer for me, will you do that? Did we cover Philippians 1:29? I don't know if you've seen this verse before. For it has been granted to you, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. It's not one of the most popular verses, okay? But it says it clearly. And we don't want to put a burden and a cloak and a cloud over people saying, oh, poor me, I need to suffer. No. But we are not greater than our Master. We're not. Right. The first fruit is that we can get to know Christ. We can get to know Christ in a deep and intimate way, and we all have a desire to know Him. And we can say like the old man, I don't know the psalm, I know the shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And is that not what the world needs to see? Christ shining brightly through your life and my life when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's wonderful to worship the Lord here on a Sunday. It's great to see the passion and the sincere desire. But can I tell you what is more powerful is when you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and your neighbor sees that you fear no evil. There's a hope, there's a peace, there's something different that the world cannot give. That glorifies Christ. Okay, second one. We become aware. The second fruit of suffering well is that we become aware that God's glory is the most important thing. We become less aware of ourselves and more aware of Christ. Who knows Tannie Corrie ten Boom? Who has heard, read The Hiding Place? Anyone? This Dutch, short Dutch Tannie that went through World War II, had to look on where a German soldier killed her sister right in front of her. And God gave her the ministry of going throughout the world and sharing the power of forgiveness in Christ. Now, I don't want to talk about that. I want to say to you that there's a beautiful story that very few people know about. And it's the following. That when she turned 80 years old, she was in Amsterdam. My mentor, Floyd, was taking her to the airport. And he said to her, Aunt Corrie, it's your birthday today. And she said, yes, you know what? I bought myself a set of suitcases. And he said, what? A set of suitcases turning 80. Why did you do that? And she said, God told me He's going to give me another 10 years where I can travel the world and tell people about Jesus and His forgiveness. And that was amazing. Now the story, the real part of the story happens now. She was 85 and she had a stroke. 85. And what I tell you now was journaled by her and by her carer that she was bedridden. She could do nothing for herself. And the Lord spoke to Aunt Corrie. And the Lord said to her, my daughter, I am giving you a choice. I can come and fetch you, and you'll be with me. What would you want to do? And her answer was the following. She said, Lord, what will give most glory to you? And God said to her, what will give most glory to me? Is if you stay here, but it will mean that you'll suffer. And she said to the Lord, Lord, that's what I live for. Most glory to you. If it means that I must suffer, let it be so. And on her 90th birthday, God came and fetched her. Now, to have a heart to say, Lord, it's not about me. What will give most glory to you, even if it means that I have to suffer? Now, that is not a shallow Christianity. Can I say to you, there's intimacy beyond what most of us can dream, but it's available to each one of us. Beautiful, isn't it? Hey, so that's the second fruit. We decrease and Christ increases. If you have suffered, the word says in Hebrews, we've actually dealt with sin. Sin doesn't have this huge hold on us anymore. We've walked the road. There's a price that we've paid. And Christ is becoming more and more. Right, the third one, and we've almost finished. This is a beautiful one. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, it flows over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. When we go through pain and suffering, God says, I want to use you to come and minister to someone. The comfort I give you, go and give it. Go and be a vessel that builds the church, that trains, that establishes foundations, help people to establish a faith that looks onto a hope that will not be shaken. If you have gone through suffering, do not, and you've received comfort, I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want to use the suffering of my life in the past? How do you want to use it for your glory? There's a purpose and there's a plan. God does not just save, God redeems. God redeems our past. There's hope. And you will not believe what God can do through what you have experienced Christ through your sufferings. Okay. And the fourth one. We learn to endure. We learn to endure and to overcome and finish well. I don't know if you know the statistics, full-time ministers, missionaries. Of full-time missionaries, more than 70% of full-time missionaries that starts off well, received a call from God, walked, sacrificed, give themselves completely to the purposes in the kingdom of God, does not end well. They leave the mission field. They leave, and lots of them turn their back on God. Our purpose is to 20 years from now still follow Jesus and love him more. My mentor used to say, it's amazing that you follow Jesus now. It's amazing, wonderful. You know what's more amazing? If in 40 years from now, you follow him also. Of the 20 people that did studies with me that love Jesus, I can count 4. This is now at 91, so this is 33 years later. 4 that follows Jesus, 4 out of 20. You don't want to be part of that statistic. And suffering, going through suffering and suffering well in Christ helps you to build endurance, to overcome, and to finish well, where God can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Do not look down on the challenges and suffering that comes along your way. For in that, God uses that to build character, but endurance that you will keep on keeping on. And your love for Christ will grow deeper. I really pray that we will just take stock and that we will look at our lives and say, Lord, if I have a tendency or a bent to avoid this, would you help me? Would you help me? And I just had a picture. I don't know if it is for someone, Baron, but there's a picture of a heart, and there's a knife in someone's heart. And the Lord wants to pull that knife out, and he says, I want to come and heal. I want to come and heal you. It's not necessary that knife is there anymore. Amen.
Thanks, Nielis. That was beautiful. Just, often even as elders, we come together and we go, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to do today? And we pray this prayer, Lord, have your way. And for me this morning, God's having his way with us. And I was reminded as Nielis is praying about that, what Hannes brought this morning, about Jesus coming and building blocks and putting things in his church. Do you sense this morning how God's built this block into us? Because when last have we as a congregation heard about suffering? When last have you heard a preach about suffering? Not a long time. And I feel this morning it's something that the Lord wants to settle and rest in our hearts. He is sovereign. He's our God. He's our King. We sing songs about, Lord, my life is yours. Come have your way. What if that means there's suffering on the road? And not if, when. You know, think about Daniel and his three friends in the fire. Or his three friends in the fire. And says, what is it to us? Our lives are yours, even if we burn, God. Even if our lives are yours and we will glorify you. And I think this morning that what Neil has brought is for us something we need to settle in our hearts. The suffering Jesus suffered overflows into our lives. We don't look for it. We don't, but we go, God, when it comes, I'm in you and you are in me, Jesus. I'm secure in who I am because of you in my life. And just that word that Neil has brought, just about hearts that has been hurt, that has experienced suffering. And I'd love for us just to pray as we close the service, just to go, God, you know what? I've suffered moments in my life. I have had suffering. But Lord, there's a bit of a sting there. There's a sting of suffering. There's a sting of a hurt, of almost unforgiveness to the Lord even. Like, God, why did I go through that? Why did that happen to me? And we might not know the why always, but we can go, God, my life is yours. I trust you. Even the disciples said to Jesus when you brought a hard word, they said, Jesus, increase our measure of faith. Increase our faith. And I want to pray for us today that God would increase faith today, that when we go through suffering, when it comes along our way, we can go, God, we are in you. We belong to you. This short affliction that we might have on this earth, who cares? Because we want to spend eternity with you. So can we close our eyes? Oh, sorry. So can we close our eyes? Can we open our hearts? This whole morning, there's a thing for me, and just that word that Neil has brought about our hearts and a sword, just our hearts to be opened. And if this morning no one is looking, but you just going, God, I just need a prayer over my life this morning. There is a sting in my heart this morning. There's something in my heart this morning just going, God, why me? Why? And can you come and remove that this morning? And can you bring healing like only you can? And if that is you, Just raise your hand. Say, Lord, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to ask, as our eyes are closed, this is between you and God. Neelis, would you come and pray? Just come and minister. Just come and pray. And just that the Lord will come, Holy Spirit, that you would come this morning as Neelis prays. And just bring that healing balm over our hearts.
Father, we cannot heal ourselves. We cannot. We need a healer. And for everyone that this morning has taken that step and say, Lord, I'll take this step and I'll open my heart and I'll allow you to come in. Would you minister by your Spirit, whatever that might be, Lord? I pray that you will settle hearts, that you will minister your peace, your comfort, your healing. And above all, like the old hymn says, through it all, I've learned to trust Jesus. And that there will be hope connected to this healing, and that the comfort you will bring for every person, Lord, whatever happened in the past, will be such of such a nature, so overflowing, so alive, so deep, that it will flow to others. We ask you, Holy Spirit, come and do that now. In Jesus' name.
And Father, like your disciples said, God, would you increase the measure of faith in our lives, Lord? Would you increase, God, like Neelis said this morning, that scripture, that we would decrease and you will increase, God, that our lives will reflect you well in every area, God. Come build into us, Lord, the things that you need to build into us so that you can receive all the glory, all the honor. Our lives are not our own. We belong to you, Jesus. And God, this morning, just as a church, God, we want to say we are in you. We are in you, Jesus. Make us one, God, as you are one, God. You in us and us in you. So no matter what comes our way, God, we know, Lord, that your ways are higher and better than our ways, God. Our lives are yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.